Good. My name is Dave Ramsey. I chair the Leona County Research and Development Authority's Budget Committee. We are meeting today at September the 7th at 1:08 p.m. You have received an agenda. I'll call the meeting to order. There are no guests in the room to introduce. There are no public members in the room to introduce. Does the committee have any modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll ask for the minutes of the previous budget committee, the one on September the 2nd, 2020, to be approved. I was not at that meeting, so I can't attest that everything in there is accurate, but I assume that it could be.
So moved.
The motion, is there a second?
Second.
And any further discussion regarding the minutes? Hearing none, motion, or excuse me, those in favor signify saying aye.
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 Sign and motion carries. I'm going to ask now Ron to...
Dave, there is an omission from the agenda.
Okay, an omission or an addition?
An omission. Well, it was omitted. We need to add it.
Okay, we'll make an addition to it. All right.
We did not approve the participation by electronic means of our remote board member.
All right, so we need to do that now?
Yes.
All right, is there a motion to approve this meeting being conducted with electronic members being present?
So moved.
Second.
And there's a motion and a second. Those in favor signify saying aye.
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 Motion carries. The three of you are going to have to do a lot of motions today. All right. Staff have worked hard.
I know this is procedural, and again, I apologize.
Yes.
But given that, do you need to retake that?
The original motion.
The motion on the minutes.
Yeah.
All right. We will retake that motion on the minutes. Well, we had a quorum anyhow, didn't we?
Ray,
we're going to give you a chance to vote on the minutes. We're going to retake that vote. Those in favor of approving the minutes of the January the 2nd, 2020 meeting, which were included as attachment A, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Hold by like sign, motion then carries.
We have not, apparently we have not had another meeting prior to this that had that on there, so I didn't copy and paste.
That's all right. Let me say, having been on this committee for more than a few years, I am very appreciative of the staff work that completes and does and prepares for us to review these budgets. I have shared with Ron, I'll share with others, my first year on the board, the budget committee and the board actually reviewed every single line item to include what subscriptions we wanted to have this year. It was a very, very long and terrible process to go through. We have advanced a great deal. We have a much more professional presentation. I'm pleased to turn the meeting over now to our executive director, who will present his proposal for this year's budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I can handle this in a couple of different ways. I've done it different ways in the past. One is we can go through this in detail, or I can give you kind of a quick overview, and then you can ask any questions that maybe you already have. Is there a preference? Do you want to go through every schedule, or do you want
to? My preference would be to start out with the overview.
Okay.
Then if we have something we'll drill down on, we'll come back to you.
Okay. So the narrative that you see in the packet, I think, does a pretty good job of explaining the process that we went through and what are the major changes from the current year budget to the proposed year budget. So I think that's probably a good place to start is, you know, what are the major changes that we're seeing? The first is with the rent revenue. Well, first of all, let me back up 1 second and mention that the budget does not include anything related to the North Florida Innovation Labs construction. That is something that's being handled by the Infill Oversight Committee. There's nothing, it's all, you know, capital outlays. It's all funded out of the grant awards. So there's really not a whole lot to talk about related to that.
Basically, that's a revenue in and expense out.
Yes.
Pretty much zeroes out.
And the board has already approved everything related to the expenditure of those funds.
And all that is at this point, everything gets capitalized, so it's not on the P&L, right?
Not exactly. There will be some grant revenue that's recognized as it's earned, and it's earned on a reimbursement basis. So as we expend the funds, we'll recognize grant revenue.
Okay.
But it doesn't really impact cash flow because that cash flow is already there. We try to, as much as possible, we try to look at the budget from a cash flow standpoint. We don't worry about some of the changes in working capital items, but the assumption is it's all cash flow.
Okay.
With that exception.
And in the future, will that at some point be rolled up to a parent sort of overall?
Yeah. Oh, it'll go into the financial statements. Absolutely. You will see it in the monthly financials.
I think we'll have to do that.
Yes, you will.
Oh, okay.
You will.
So this budget is primarily what we're doing outside of that.
Yes. I just thought it would be confusing to see that information rolled up because it's not going to impact real cash flow.
Yeah.
From operations.
Will it begin to influence this balance sheet?
Only to the extent of that, the infill construction account, which is what I'm saying. That's everything's going to flow through that infill construction account.
Yeah.
So as you can see on that, it's got $1,089,000 as of July.
Yeah.
So that's just a matter of managing the flow of the grant funds and the matching funds.
And the $500,000 increase was from the university and the city and county blueprint?
Yes. Each of them have contributed $500,000. Of their each $2,500,000.
$2,500,000, that's right.
And we've put in $200,000 so far.
Okay.
And there is a cash flow projection done with that, but right now it's all about paying the architect's fees, which is $1.5 million, roughly. And that will take us until groundbreaking in March, more likely April, by the time bills would start coming in before March or April of next year, before we'd even have to concern ourselves with anything other than that $1.5 million.
And will the architect be approving draw requests?
We are, yes. In terms of the construction contracts?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, it's all AIA billing, and
yeah.
I'm sure you've seen those.
Yeah. All right.
And then as far as since we're on cash, the operating cash account is $163,000 as of end of July. I just checked. It's right now about $251,000, mostly because we put in the $77,000 that we got from restitution, as I think I emailed y'all about that. $77,000 in restitution we received from our fraud perpetrator from several years ago.
Does everyone know what he's talking about?
Yes.
Vaguely.
Approximately 10 years ago, maybe 12, we had a bookkeeper who was taking a good bit of the profits to her own account, credit cards, housing, jewelry, trips, all kinds of things. It got up to over $500,000 or $600,000, I think.
$640,000.
The auditors for several years did not pick up on it. We changed auditors. The auditors that we're using now is the one that came in and picked up on it right away. We immediately dismissed her, and soon thereafter, we dismissed the executive director. It turned out that she'd been hired without any reference checks. Her home was the county jail. She was working on work release programs from a prior embezzlement process. It was as bad as you could get.
I'm surprised you don't know about that, Kevin.
Again, vaguely, I had heard some details about it, but it's been a long time and hadn't immersed myself in it.
Yeah, we've worked really hard to get past that.
It took a long time for it to get off our website.
The search engine results have finally come off.
Finished her term in federal prison as well. I don't know the specifics of the where she got the restitution money, but we received an unexpected check for $77,000.
Yeah.
She's been making restitution payments over a period of time.
200 here, there.
Yeah, but it's
little tiny stuff.
And it's all managed. It's all managed by the government, by the U.S. government.
If we had a lien on her house. That might have been where this came from. She may have sold her house. We don't know.
I don't know the specifics of that.
Yeah, that's just a guess. So it had to be some big item.
Yeah.
That we captured.
Certainly.
There was some settlement with the auditor's insurance company. We got a little off of that, maybe $100,000 or something. I don't know what.
So I don't know what the, at this point, I don't know what the remaining balance is on that or what we can expect or not expect. It's just, it's gravy yeah. whenever it comes in at this point.
But this was a windfall.
Sure.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, it pretty much balanced the budget for this year. as far as the operating budget goes, I don't know how they knew, but I actually had the forecast close to done before we got that check. But right now we're forecasting a net operating loss of around $1,100. And again, that's a little too specific for an estimate, but so near break even is what we're expecting. On the capital expenditure side, we do expect another $8,000 roughly than what you see on here. We just got some billing for a replacement of an HVAC unit. So it's going to be closer to $46,000 in the whole, including capital expenditures after all said and done. And again, still an estimate. There's still things coming and going. But that's the forecast for the current year. And then there is a sheet. We kind of jumped around here a little bit, but there is also a sheet that explains the differences between what we're forecasting and what we budgeted for last year. And we can go through that as well. But again, going back to the difference between the proposed budget and the current year budget, one of the biggest items we're faced with right now is the loss of FSU Anthropology from the Johnson Building. And that amounted to $188,000 a year in rent. Now, we have them for a partial year this year through July. Next year, we'll have none of that. So that's a significant impact. On the other side of the equation, we did gain Career Source Capital Region, which is about $80,000 a year in rental income. This first year, I believe they started mid-February, but we did have about $26,000 in expenditures just to get the space ready with, you know, carpet paint, ceiling tiles, and the like. The other good news on the revenue side, even though it doesn't have an immediate impact, is renegotiating the lease with FDOT for the Phipps building for 15 years. We spread that pain out instead of taking all the hit starting in 2022. That's now spread out over the next 15 years, and it's a lot less. We also did a smaller extension in this building for the Florida Department of Ag, which is about $8,000 in increased rents. I believe that was a 5-year extension. And then some of the other more significant items, really it's mostly the grant income. Bill's been working exceptionally hard since he got here to work with FAMU for part of this. He's working with David Teak and finding opportunities to get revenue. We have a schedule that we haven't had in the past. Unfortunately, my page numbers got chopped off, so I'm not sure which one this is, but it's towards the back, grants and other income, attachment H. And Bill can speak to this a little bit. But these are all of the different grants that have been awarded. We're still working on some of the agreements on some of these, but these are not ones we're speculating about. These are ones that we have. We decided not to try to budget for those that we didn't have at this point. So we still think there are some other opportunities out there. One of the challenges we have is when you go after some of these grants, it's not about offsetting salaries and existing expenses. Most of them require you to go out and spend that money on new things. So we are in this particular budget trying to find offsets wherever we can, because clearly we had a big hole going into the start of this process. There's still a significant hole of $77,000 in net operating expenses or net operating loss this year. So we're still working with OEV, for example, and determining how some of these ARPA funds can be used. We don't have a final agreement there. But when you look at that schedule, you'll see how we anticipate using those funds. For example, Bill has developed this budget related to ARPA, and you'll see the total award. You'll see the amount that we think we're going to get for the current fiscal year out of that award. Some of them are multiple year awards, two or more. And then you'll see offset budgeted expenses. Those are the expenses that are in the budget that are in a different line item. For example, some of it may be salary offsets. Some of it may be programs and events, but it's in existing line items. And then you'll see the last column, which says grant expense. And that there's actually a line item for grant expense. And those are expenses that are basically new expenses that we're not breaking out into something else, if that makes sense. So those are ones that we really don't have the opportunity to offset somewhere else. So we have, and again, Bill can answer any questions you have about this, but you also have FAMU Reach, which they're trying to get this completed by the end of the year. That's 15,000 on top of the 82,250 from ARPA. There's a NASA grant for $40,000. There's an interesting program that Bill's been working with David Teek on to actually offset some rent here in the Collins building. That's $60,000. And the intent being to bring in members into the infill incubator and either give them discounted space or free space as appropriate based on their ability to pay and get them started in the incubator. And we have some particular members lined up already who would be able to take advantage of that. But again, the idea behind the program is to get the pipeline filled up and move it.
So, what number of members would represent full capacity?
In the infill incubator here?
In the new incubator we're building.
This is not for the new incubator. This is for this building. This
building here. All right, I'm sorry.
Okay. And this is, I think what we've offered is five spaces, basically offices and or lab space. But that actually leads to the next section on that schedule, which is how can we do more in the Collins building? And this is probably the most difficult piece for you to consider today, which is the funding that's available from OEV, okay, through the Juggernaut Danfoss project. And if you recall, that was $805,000 for that deal. There were certain milestones that have to be hit for us to access those funds. The first milestone to get the first year tranche of $268,500 is for Danfoss to break ground. So as Dave asked earlier, the last we were told is that they're going to break ground in October. The agreement also requires that we submit a spending plan to them that supports the strategic objectives that we had at the time we did that agreement. If it deviates from that strategic plan, then there are a few more steps we're probably going to have to go through to get approval. So what we try to do is to come up with a spending plan that we think they'll support, that has some offsets in it, but also helps us to accomplish some of the things we wanted to do with that money, which number one was to get the space ready to lease. Because as we all know, and you look at the $77,000 deficit, we need to lease more space. In addition to these alternative revenue sources that Bill's come up with, it's really important we have more leasable space. So we have allocated about $200,000 to go towards renovations of the 268.5. So we would put about $150,000 into the other end of this building. So carpet paint, ceiling tile insulation, much like what we did to this end of the building. We wouldn't be doing a lot of, we have a little bit of money in there that could help with some of the restrooms down there. There's a couple of single user restrooms. There's a kitchen down there that we might want to look at making it into lab space even. There's a little bit of money in there to do some of those things. but not a lot of partition work or like we did here, but just get it leasable. One of the challenges we're finding at this end of the building is these offices that we have down here that we can lease out or do membership agreements with don't have windows. And it's the first thing we hear when people are looking at these spaces, it doesn't have a window. So we have a bunch of offices around the perimeter that have windows, some really nice, at least one decent suite on the other corner. We think with a little renovation, we could probably lease that out fairly easily. So that's why we kind of prioritized the funding that way. Morgan Building, $50,000. That's looking at the second floor, the end of the building that Career Source didn't take. So we would finish out that end of the building again, carpet paint, ceiling tile, including the hallways. Make that look nice again. They've got some decent leasable space up there. The biggest challenge with that floor is it doesn't have a lot of suites. It's got a couple up there, but a lot of them are single offices. It does have a 3,000 square foot area on the interior that's all no windows. It's just a suite of offices in the middle. But still, when you walk, if you've been up there, you know it's got orange carpet and just it doesn't look good. So there are just some things I think we could go ahead and get those things done and make that space leasable. And then we do have some offsets. Marketing is one of the strategic plan areas. And again, looking not just at general marketing of the park, but also, you know, actually marketing, getting a little more aggressive on the marketing of the park, marketing of the space, so that we can, again, try to generate revenue with that $56,000. And then some another 12.5 for marketing. That's more of the any other direct costs related to marketing other than salaries and wages. So a significant amount of dollars for marketing compared to what we've done in the past. But again, it's not going to eliminate. You can't exactly eliminate those and balance the budget on that if you were thinking about that, because $77,000 deficit, and that's 68.5. That's coming out of the MOU money for OEV, and we don't think we can generate a lot more offsets. And 56,000 of that is an offset for marketing salaries and wages. So that's our attempt to plug that hole. Does that make sense? Right. Sorry, don't mean to ignore you. I got to look here to look at you, and then I got to look here to see if you're looking at me. Okay.
I'm fine.
I know I'm talking fast, but so any questions on grants and other income? That's kind of a significant one. Okay. And you'll see that on the budget summary. Those are the two big line items. You see $197,250. For grant revenue and $268,500 in other income, and that's the OEV MOU. The other items in revenue are very typical of what we would see in terms of common area maintenance. That's an allocation based on allocated administrative, a percentage of our administrative costs and the direct common area maintenance to the developed acreage in the park. Interest income, you'll see it's down about $10,000. And again, that's a combination of declining interest rates and what we expect to be some declining balances in our investments as we allocate funds to the infill project. So that's the majority of the income side of the equation. On the expense side, salaries and wages, we show an increase of about $7,100 over the current year. That includes staff increases of 4%, plus the executive director. Budget increase of 3%. And then we did have some adjustments because of changes in staffing between, you know, while we had some vacancies in staff. The 4% staff increase is consistent with what we've been doing for the past several years. We had a decrease in utilities due to just the changes in occupancy in the Johnson building because of the FSU Anthropology being vacant. We had some changes in maintenance and repairs, and that has to do with the parking lot resurfacing. And this is probably a good opportunity to bring that up. So if you look at the schedule, on attachment F, you'll see the capital expenditure and major maintenance. So we drop down to major maintenance. The Johnson building has $20,000 allocated for paint. That is a contractually required obligation in our GSA contract, the National Park Service. They've been deferring that for the last couple of years, I believe. I think we budgeted for it last year, and then they decided they didn't want to do it at that point. So GSA says you got to do it, and then the tenant will say, well, we don't want the disruption right now for whatever reason. And they've decided they want to move it again until next year. Signage, we have continued to defer. That's going to be a significant chunk of funding to upgrade all the signage in the park. It's something we need to look at doing at some point here soon. And then the parking lots. And if you recall, the board decided to punt the RFP to the budget committee to consider. The RFP came in at $192,000, I believe it was, and the budget was about $90,000. The explanation we got was that when we got the budget number was based on an estimate that one of the bidders actually came out and provided, and they ended up being the low bidder, but they were the 192 and not the 90. So they had various explanations as to why they didn't get it closer, but also COVID material costs, all that have come into play. We know that we have, from an appearance standpoint, it doesn't look very good. We have a few areas that we have concerns about where we want to make sure that, you know, they stay safe, where we have trees coming up, you know, roots coming up through the parking lot and things like that. But my recommendation at this point is that we do not resurface the parking lot this year, that we defer that, give the material costs an opportunity to settle down and figure out where they're going to go. Also, we only had two bidders on that RFP, and I don't know if that's a supply and demand problem with the nature of the contractors out there and the kind of work that they have, and they're just not responding. But I think we ought to rebid that maybe later next summer before the next budget cycle, and see what kind of numbers we get and try to get more responses.
What is the mechanism that we're using in order to keep a pulse on that segment of the industry? If we wait till next summer to rebid it, it's a bit of a crapshoot as to where the industry is then versus where it is today. Is there, and I don't have an answer for this, I'm just asking the question, is there a way that we can keep a pulse? Is there some market, some?
Yeah, the best place that I've found so far is in the FDOT.
Okay.
They have an index, I believe.
An index, so yeah.
They have some information on that. Again, it's also a matter of how do we want to allocate funds right now? Do we want to go, deeper into our reserves to pay for this kind of stuff, or do we want to try to get more revenue coming in? That challenge.
And then we haven't talked about the capital expenditures up above yet. So there's some other big expenditures we've got to look at. I agree. I think in this we're going to have the same conversation when we talk about Northpoint Innovation Labs. You know, what is it better to wait? You know, if we could get an extension on Northpoint Innovation Labs, would we? I don't have a crystal ball on this one, but no idea.
Right.
So anyway, but yes, that's what I would do is I would pay attention to that index. I mean, I would say that's what I will do. To pay attention to that index and see, you know, where that's headed. But right now, my recommendation would be to wait.
When you locate the index that you want to use as the barometer, and I guess there may even be a couple of them in there, can you email that around so that?
Sure.
I'd like to periodically keep the pulse on it as well.
I would simply say my viewpoint is we've already projected $77,000 loss. Before we incorporate in there the capital expenditures, oh, I'd love to see these parking lots paved. I just don't see how we can afford it this next year.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
So I guess if we go back to the executive committee, I simply would say, well, maybe I'll take a vote here, but let's ask. Does the committee feel that it would be appropriate for us to recommend to the executive committee that we pass in the year 2021-22 resurfacing the parking lots? Is there a motion to move that to the executive committee?
By pass, you mean?
That we do not expend that amount of, we don't put it in the budget, number one.
So the recommendation is that we do not include resurfacing in the current year budget. If that's the request, I'd make that motion. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could make a suggestion, I think what we have is y'all will be making a recommendation on the budget as at the end. We'll say, here's the budget that we're going to recommend. So that will cover that item. As far as the parking lot goes, I think the outstanding item is the current RFP. And I apologize, I don't have the actual language from what the board indicated. But the intent was for this committee to consider whether or not there were enough funds in the current year to go ahead and accept one of those proposals on that RFP. So I think the motion would be to cancel the RFP for this committee to decide to cancel the RFP and then when you pass this final budget, that will go to them indicating that you're not recommending it.
So rather than us canceling it, would be us recommending to the board that it be canceled?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to amend your motion to that effect?
I will. Let me make sure, just to summarize and restate and clarify. Because our budget, as it's been presented, projects an operating loss for the fiscal year, and we, in any other sense, we would have to use
reserve
funds, which are already in short supply. We're not going to make a recommendation to dig further into reserve when we're not already showing cash positive in our operations.
That sounds right.
And so I will modify my motion that our recommendation would be that we cancel the RFP.
Peggy, you have that? Okay. The motion is that we recommend to the executive committee that they pass on to the board a cancellation of the RFP for pavement, resurfacing or asphalt pavement. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, we have 2 seconds. Those in favor, any further comment? Those in favor of that recommendation to the executive committee, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. Okay, continue on, sir.
Okay. So I will, let's hold off a minute on the capital expenditures. So we mentioned the cleaning and improvements. So you'll see also in the increase and the total cleaning improvements, you see it's $223,300. That includes the $200,000 from the OEB money that will be expended on Morgan and Collins.
That's offset to that.
Yeah, as well as the $20,000 for the carpet, or for the paint, I'm sorry, in the Johnson Building for the National Park Service. So that's why that's such a big number there. And you'll see that maintenance and repairs actually came down. And that, again, was because we had the elevators. We had the parking lot resurfacing of $90,000, and we had one of the elevators in there as well, which is no longer in there. After a little more research, I determined that the proper classification of the elevators is going to be a capital expenditure. It's a little wonky when you look at repairs and replacement, what's supposed to be capitalized and what's not. A lot has to do with whether or not it extends the useful life of the building. But that can be debated on, you know, parking lots and elevators. And
but that still depletes our reserves.
It's still coming out of reserves either way. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll come back to the elevators in a moment. But that explains those changes that you see on those line items. So you'll see maintenance and repairs went down $165,000 and cleaning improvements went up at $181,000. Most of the other admin expenses, those changes were minor. When you get down to professional fees, we increased professional fees $17,000. About $5,000 of that reflects the increase in hourly rate that the board previously approved after our council hadn't had an increase in several years. And that's a guess based on previous billable hours and the percentage increase. You know, a lot will depend on how we use them. I know there was some question about if this P3 proceeds, that could have a significant professional fee requirement. That's not baked into these numbers at this point. I don't know what that budget would look like. So we'll, my intent was to bring that information back when we get a little further down the road on the P3.
Do we, are we looking to use the same council, or do we need to go out and find another council that has experience in the P3?
They have someone with experience in the P3. That's kind of the nice part about there, some of the mergers that have gone through. I've actually already had a call with their P3 expert, which is kind of how we ended up where we're at right now, pursuing some other specifics with the EDA. And I'll discuss that with the executive committee, and I'm sure that'll be part of the board meeting conversation as well. But.
And Keith, you may recall the the council had proposed a pretty good step up, and we in the board proposed a lesser step up, or that we would, in that case, go out and rebid. They accepted the lesser step up.
And your concern was with more about qualifications for
the yes,
yeah, right, than necessarily the price.
Right. But I'm addressing the price as well. Yeah.
Okay. And then the other piece that's in here is we have allocated $12,000 for contract grant writing. So we've already contracted with this person to perform these services. It's on a month-to-month basis. Well, actually, we're doing it according to any grant opportunities that come about. It's not a retainer. It's just based on the grant. We'll do it. They'll give us a proposal for a price, and then we'll either accept it or go find somebody else or do it ourselves. We know we've got to go out and continue to generate revenue. We need to create a grant writing machine, not just writing, but administration. And this is just the first step of that process, is to get a lot more active with going after grants. And a lot of it's geared around the North Florida Innovation Labs, but we will also be looking at other opportunities in the park. And Bill's already identified some infrastructure related opportunities that we might want to look at. It might be putting in power for electric vehicles, or you know, some other unique things that we could do for the park that would, bring it up to maybe a little more modern and those sort of things. So we'll just look for whatever opportunities are out there. There's a lot of money out right now from federal opportunities, and so we just think that we need to have a professional grant writer to help us with some of that.
Bill, I think you've worked a little bit with this grant writer. Are you impressed? Wait to see. Where are we on that?
She's doing an outstanding job, and she's got sort of our interest in mind as well as the larger ecosystem. Her previous experience, she's retired and moved into this space. She was on the funder side at the federal level in Arlington, so she's quite adept at not only executing the grants, but also pointing out probability from her perspective and investing the time and effort in submitting the grant. So I think she's excellent, and I have referred her to Ron prior to my getting this role, as well as OEE, FAMU, and others. So I think she's doing a great job, and we have a number of things that we're looking at and tracking over the coming weeks and months, depending on the deadline.
Is she identifying opportunities in advance of asking, or is she just dependent upon what we say, go look for this?
No, she is identifying. She's got access to a subscription database that professional grant writers access. So she's got access to not only the public money, but also the private foundations that are doing submissions. As soon as we get feedback from the IRS that we're approved as a 501c3, she has identified a number of additional opportunities that are only for 501c3 entities. So she's good. We'll see a lot of return on investment from that line item. I feel certain.
Good. And Ron, we expect that approval when?
In November. It's 180 days from when we filed. If we don't hear we're supposed to hear something before 180 days, but if we don't hear anything within 180 days, we can then follow up with them to find out. For example.
Okay. So. And we're about 130 or so?
November, mid-November is when. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
I had trust me, it's on my to-do list.
Good.
Actually, I just checked this morning to make sure there's nothing weird. You see grant expenses, that reflects the expenses that I pointed out on the grant and other income schedule. Travels and conferences, we increased a little bit, mainly because we haven't been traveling. We expect to, even though we didn't go this year, we expect to go to the Chamber Conference next year. We think that'll be a great opportunity to promote the incubator prior to opening. It's going to open in September of 2023, so we'll start that heavy marketing effort then. And then Bill has a number of conferences and things that he would like to be able to attend. And I think I have one in there for myself and a little bit for Karen to do some continuing education. Marketing and PR. So again, this does have a little bit from the OEB side, the $12,500 that I mentioned before. And it's going to be a lot more deliberate marketing approach than maybe what you've seen in the past. I think we've maybe hit a Florida Trend magazine ad, things like that. But with Bill and Karen's expertise, we expect to do a lot more. You'll see the detail for that. It's in the admin expenses. So that is on attachment E on page 3 of 3. So we've got some, some software and other things that we have to pay for. We've got a little bit for social media We've got a little bit of swag, some print media. Bill has some thoughts about some WFSU underwriting to get more airplay there. If you don't know, Bill used to work for WFSU. He's familiar with all the inner workings from many years ago. And then as I mentioned, the OAB MOU funded marketing is in that line item. So it's a big step up for what we typically total, $31,560. The key is just to make sure that we get a return on that investment, and we will be tracking that return and making sure that we do get that return. Stop me at any point. Tech grant, that one, you'll notice that we, it says research grants on the summary. It's $25,000. This year we had budgeted $50,000, and that's because we thought we were going to get back on schedule. We used to hold the event in May, payout in, you know, end of May, first of June for those grants. And because of COVID, we moved the event to October and did it virtually. It's actually working out better, I think, for us. Even if we're going to have it in person, is to do it in October. So we only did $25,000 for the next year, and we expect it to be that way going forward. Just so you know, we're still debating on whether or not to do it virtually versus in person. That's, I think we're going to make that call next week. And I think we are leaning to doing it virtually again with all the uncertainty that's out there. And the event went really, really well last time, but we're still getting sponsorships. So the revenue side is staying up there, and we're trying to make sure that our sponsors get full value for what they're contributing. But
can I ask you, we offset completely, didn't we? With sponsors versus expense?
On the operating side, yes. We actually gained on that side, yes. Yeah, typically, even when we hold it in person, we'll offset it.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then the last operating expense item is the property and casualty insurance, which I just got this morning. It came in $955 higher than last year. So one amendment I would like for the year to approve from what's presented is adjusting the property and casualty insurance to $65,040, which is the actual number that came in this morning. And then finally, we have the capital budget. And back on attachment F. So you'll see that I have last year's number on there just so you can see how we came up with that when you do the comparison. But for this upcoming year, I'm sorry, when I said last year, I meant current year. And then for next year's budget, we have $150,000 for elevators. We have $2,000 for a computer. We have $10,000 for our copy scanner fax, which the copy scanner fax is no longer supported with maintenance for parts. Can't get them. We've been told this for a while, and we've got our fingers crossed that nothing breaks before I get to my next budget year. Fortunately, that was probably the only thing with COVID that helped, is we didn't have to use the copier. And that $10,000 is actually less than what we spent on our current one, because I don't think we need quite everything that we've got on this one, but I think we can find what we need for $10,000. But this is not something that you sit on a desktop, and particularly with the incubator, we need certain abilities to be able to authorize use and all of that. So, but it is necessary. And then the $30,000 for HVAC units is our typical replacements for HVAC. That's an ongoing. And that is only for full unit replacement. That is not for regular repairs or maintenance, which has its own operating expense line items. That's one of those things that's very difficult to know the difference between operating expense and capital expense. So that's the $192,000 capital expenditures. The elevators, that was one that initially was approved for this current year budget. We got into writing the scope and determined that it was going to require a consultant to help us do that. The board approved the funds to do the consultant, but with everything else that's been going on, we've not had the opportunity to bid that out. But we'd like to get that done as quick as we can in this upcoming fiscal year. We think we could go ahead and get them both done. Like, it just makes sense from a practical standpoint. You're not going to do them exactly the same time, but if you could bid them out together, you could probably get a better price than if you just bid one, especially for the consultant. You know, have the consultant manage the whole project from start to finish. We wouldn't do them both at the same time because we need one operating while the other one's down. Even though they're in different buildings, I think it's going to make more sense to do it that way.
And it's my understanding that this does not, or is not needed because of a safety issue.
No, it's not. I mean, we're continuing to, you know, to band-aid it. There's no doubt. I mean, it's just getting old. It's like the copier. It gets old enough, it's hard to get parts, and it breaks down more frequently. But, you know, it's just making sure that it's operating as needed. But yes, we still continue to get safety certifications and all that's required for the elevators, but it definitely needs to be done.
Any other questions about the elevators?
So that's the $192,000 in the capital expenditures. So that's that brings us to the cash flow after the capital expenditures of about $270,000. Loss, I should say.
Okay, well, any further comment with regard to your presentation right now before we go into questions and answers?
That's all I've got.
Hey, members of the committee, what questions do you have? Okay, chair's hearing none. I'll turn to next year's chair. This will be your budget. How do you feel?
It's our budget. I don't think he wants to own it completely.
So the reality is we're stepping into a situation where we're spending $250,000 more than we have.
Yeah.
More than we'll get.
More than we'll get. And there needs to be a mindset towards a trajectory. And so the things that we're doing in the current year, and this, I think this needs to be a consistent conversation every year, but the things that we're doing in the upcoming current year need to be done with the mindset towards how will this improve our trajectory. What we don't want to do is end up in a situation of a slow bleed. I was in a meeting earlier today with a couple people who are fairly prominent in the community, and I won't say what the meeting was or who the people that were involved, but it wasn't my normal a set of colleagues, and they were asking some questions. I mentioned that I was going to be out here today, and I asked, I was probing a bit of their level of familiarity, and it was pretty low. almost surprisingly low. And this is a conversation that we've had, and I know that we don't market to our local community, not in terms of the work that we're doing, but in terms of gaining support for what happens in the park and around the park and on the south side. I want us to be focused very, obviously, very specifically on the operations of the park, but I also want to be, I want the park to be a very vibrant and a vital part of the economic platform of our community and then what we're doing in South Tallahassee. There are a lot of pieces that are in place. And obviously the things that I'm touching on sit outside of our budget, but what happens inside of our budget needs to be focused on a trajectory. And so when we start talking about, well, when are we gonna repave? Well, there's a visual there that's important. Is it important for this year? Not really, because we have other more critical needs. But by the time the North Florida Innovation Lab is out of the ground and people are coming here to see it, there are other things that we're going to need to have addressed in that period of time so that when people do enter the park, their immediate perception upon arrival isn't sleepy and dated. It's a visual. It goes to the destination. And then and that goes into our marketing budget. Our marketing budget is critically important. How we focus those dollars and on what target audience and for what specific reason. I want us to make sure that every dollar that we spend is focused on a trajectory. It's philosophical, I understand that, but we're looking at spending over $250,000 more than what we're going to get. And so that just needs to be front and center, top of mind. I don't see anything in here that I disagree with. Ron, I think you've done a great job of preparing this. I think you've done a great job of operating the budget over the years past. When we look at something like Anthropology and missing out on, what, $180,000 of rent income, it's a lot of money, and it leaves a big mark on the pro forma. And so understanding how we're going to readdress some of those issues, it's important. Preparing existing space so that it's leasable and not just leasable at bargain prices, but intriguing enough that people want to be here and pay us a value for that proposition. Those things are important. I have no challenge with the budget as it's presented. I think it's a good budget. Being mindful of the trajectory is the big thing for me.
I get a little concerned if we're at $279,000 short of revenue this year, this coming year. What in the world might it look like the following year? That's a little concerning as well. Obviously, finding tenants is going to be a major, major part of what we need to be looking at next year. And in the absence of that, I really get worried for 22-23. Because if you take the elevators out, there's still a whole lot of expenses in here in excess of what revenue is. So those are my concerns. I guess I would almost like to say hold the elevators a little bit till at least mid-year, till we see or pretty well where we think we'll be, or is it going to be worse than it is, or are we going to lose another tenant, or we found a tenant, or whatever. I'm not saying remove them from the budget, but I'm saying let's don't do it October 1. That's my feeling now. That's not my recommendation to the board. It's just how I feel about it. I'll be glad to have others make comment about that.
What are our operational concerns with that?
Well, that's the concern. I mean, we don't have a safety issue now, but as you know, as the parks continue to be a problem, all that, if it's the timing is only about cash flow. I mean, I don't think you get to the middle of the year and say, you know, it's not a great year, we're not going to do it, right? I think we're going to say we got to do it. If we got to do it mid-year and cash flow is not the issue, why not do it first of the year? So the balance sheet says we have approximately $1.9 million in investments, our reserves, that's not allocated to the North Florida Innovation Labs. So in terms of timing of cash flow, it can be paid out of reserves.
Yeah.
And if it's got to be done at any point next year, I think it ought to be done as soon as we can get it done.
Okay. Other comments?
Yeah, I would agree with Ron. I think that to Kevin's point as well, if we're now trying to focus on the trajectory, and a lot of that is dependent upon people wanting to be out here, we need to make them feel like this is the place to be. And if we've got, you know, parking lots that need new paving and elevators that sometimes work or don't work and bathroom fixtures and things like that that haven't been upgraded and updated in a while, I think we send mixed messages by inviting folks to Innovation Park when, like Kevin said, it's sleepy and dated. So, I mean, if we were looking, if this is the asset that we have, and this is our major asset, and a key part of the revenue stream is from projected rents, then that's where our focus should be, trying to do everything we can do to charge a premium if we can, but with a premium price comes premium facilities. So.
Ray, comments?
Yeah, I was going to agree with Keith there. I think that priority focus ought to be on upgrading and getting space in position to be occupied and to provide therefore some additional income. I guess I would even say that I would put that over a priority higher than the elevator, because as Ron says, if we're not having a problem immediately, we probably are going to have one at some point in time. But at least I would put the priority on upgrading the space and making it first-class space.
So, if we were able to get to the finish line in a conversation with an entity such as Tuff, who their mindset obviously is helping us establish and complete project number A, which is the North Florida Innovation Lab. But their mindset is also much larger than that, which is to build and expand upon the research platform. I wonder how much more money may be accessible through somebody, a development partner like Tuff, because as a development partner, they're not looking at developing, they're not a contractor, they're not building a building for us. They're looking at our park and thinking about it in terms of, as a master developer, what would they do and what would they bring to the table? Should we be talking with them about ways to invest in some of this additional infrastructure? Because, you know, as we look at the success of the Innovation Lab, we do want people, as they enter into the park, to appreciate that there's a fresh look, and it's a destination. There are things that we need to go along with the concept of a destination.
Okay, I hear true consensus is that we just go ahead and proceed with elevators as quick as we can. Again, I think I'm going to propose to the executive committee and to the board as your treasurer that as long as we are then operating at a loss, assuming that's where we start off at the beginning of the year and kind of continue, that 2 to 3 minutes of each board meeting, we just kind of do a little more of an in-depth look at our income statement and our balance sheet. I'd like to make sure our board realizes where we are, their obligation as a board member to be fiduciarily responsible, but to also have their eyes and ears open as to where we might find other tenants, where we might find other revenue sources or other grants. I just think it's important not to just say this is buried in the consent agenda. I think it just needs to have a little more emphasis as we operate in the laws. And Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, I'm going to make that as a part of my recommendation to the executive committee. I say Mr. Vice Chair, but you'll be the chair. So.
And I will wholeheartedly endorse that. I think that not as a consent item, but as a normal course of every meeting, at the front of the meeting while everybody's fresh, that we keep that as a priority item.
And there is a treasurer's report on consent. And rather than looking at the whole financials, I think if the treasurer just gave the report at the beginning and worked through the report, because the report's that treasurer's report is a pretty good summary of where we're at.
Yeah, I want to include a balance sheet and income statement in there. Maybe
We have all of that's in there, and that's fine. You can talk about that, but it talks about the important changes in that. And we could work on it together if you want to see it differently. I've modified that over time, but if there's a way to present it, but I'm just suggesting that take the treasurer's report off of the consent agenda, make it a regular agenda item, and whatever information Dave wants to present, make that the treasurer's report at the beginning of each.
And I wouldn't intend to make that a long presentation. I'd like just to make sure that we have our eyes on it, that we're familiar with where we are and where we're going, and that not get too far off budget one way or the other without us knowing about it. Okay, you've heard my comments there. At this point in time, we've received from staff their recommendation for our budget. We've talked through it pretty good. I'm pleased with our conversation we've had. Is there a motion to forward this budget proposal to the executive committee with a recommendation that it go beyond them to the board?
As amended by the insurance.
Yeah, as amended by the insurance piece. Do I hear a motion?
There's a motion.
I hear a second.
Second.
I hear a second. Is there any further discussion with regard to the proposed budget? Hearing none, let's vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Thank you all for your input today. We've got some challenges. We know what they are, and we've got to keep our eyes and ears open. Have a good week. Let's vote for both football teams to keep progressing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day. Thanks, you all. We're adjourned.